Welcome back to another episode of Swamp Talkie Radio. I am your host, Lorenzo, joined as always by producer Ronnie, and this is the greatest baseball podcast in the entire universe, as claimed by me. Ronnie, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. That was a damn.
can you feel how great
Yeah,
I am?
You're doing great. What did you see this morning? Like a wild animal or something to bring
no,
you life?
No, just great weather.
Oh, great weather will do that to you. I am great. I watched a ton of basketball this weekend, a ton of hockey, a ton of baseball. We're officially in the sports, like, there's too many sports going on.
Yeah.
I had, like, two monitors going the whole weekend trying to consume as much as possible. I'm going to be honest. I wasn't able to watch as much baseball as I wanted to because I was locked in on my Celtics. I was locked in on some hoops, you know, but I did do my research. I watched a lot, caught up this morning, and I got 9 full innings of topics, starting off with Ohtani and the Dodgers' slow start. Then we're going to go through why the White Sox might be the worst team I've ever seen. It's pretty crazy.
Dude, it's bad.
Some teams that won me over, some teams that lost us.
Wow.
And I got a bunch of other topics. So, is there anything on your mind you want to get off, Ronnie, before we get into it?
No, let's go.
All right, good, because I've heard you pre-show just spitting out some crazy political takes, and I had to stop it before we got on air. I had unhinged. First inning, Ohtani breaks Hideki Matsui's home run record, which is crazy already. Yeah. So congratulations. Most home runs ever by a Japanese player. But the Dodgers are struggling, so let's get into it because this feels like the headline that every fan on baseball Twitter or baseball YouTube is loving this. They're like, I saw one tweet. It was like, the Guardians are 16-7 by the power of friendship and love, and the Dodgers with $5 billion are 13-11. But perspective is always king when we talk about these conversations, because my Red Sox are 13-10, and I'm ready to pop champagne. But since the Dodgers are 13-11, people are panicking. They're like, what's wrong? Well, how could this team be 13-11? Well, here's why. They lost three series and a homestand for the first time since 2011. That was a pretty crazy stat.
Yeah.
It's been 13 years since that happened. Injuries up and down the pitching staff. We know about Kershaw being out. We know about Walker Buehler being out. There's injuries up and down. Hurt. I think it was Kyle Hurt was his first name, if I'm correct. Let me just confirm on his first name. Yeah. If not, Kyle Hurt is hurt. Like, he's actually hurt, unfortunately. That's a tough last name, actually, as a pitcher.
Yeah.
Hurt. 25 years old. He was the Dodgers minor league pitcher of the year last year. He entered this season as their number 6 overall prospect, according to MLB Pipeline, and he's hurt. So just injuries on the pitching staff continue to pile up. Yamamoto is off to a slow start in his Major League Baseball career, 4.50 ERA in his first 5 starts. I saw some crazy stat that he's given up more homers this year than he did, like, all of last year in Japan League.
Yeah.
So that's pretty crazy. And they are 19th in runs per game at 4.13. So that's not really what you want to see. Now, as we break it down, their guys are kind of doing it. Ohtani, 1.094 OPS. He's having an insane start to the season. Mookie Betts has a 1.103 OPS and has already accumulated 2.2 WAR. It's not even the end of April, and he has 2.2 WAR. He's having an MVP season. So how worried should you be if you're a Dodgers fan? Everyone's saying, hey, the top of the lineup are doing it, but they're leaving a ton of men on base. They're not getting the production they need. The pitching has been shaky. They walked like 9 hitters in the first game against the Mets when they lost the series. Mm-hmm. They've been bad. Well, last year the Dodgers went 15-12 in April. They're kind of on track to go 15-12 in April again. And then they went on to win 100 games.
Boom.
I wouldn't be worried. I'm going to say it at all. I'm not worried at all. Right. I have zero worry. If I'm a Dodgers fan, zero worry. During the course of a baseball season, you are going to have a month where you maybe underperform. And if you're a month where you underperform is 15-12, hey, guess what? You're going to be a really, really good baseball team because some teams, 15-12, are their best month of the season.
Yeah.
So if you're a Dodgers fan, a lot of injuries, some shaky inconsistency in the bottom half of the lineup, I wouldn't be that worried, man. You guys got a lot of talent, a lot of people hurt. Once people start coming back, a little bit more consistency. We get into the dog days and the routine of summer. I think the Dodgers are going to be pretty damn good. They went 20-5 last August. The second half of the season, they really started kicking into gear. So don't worry yet. Be patient. Things will work out. And Tyler Glasnow has been awesome. Shout out Tyler Glasnow.
Oh my God,
he's been fantastic. I'm so happy that he's healthy. When he's healthy, he is one of the best pitchers in baseball. So you deserve some love, Tyler Glasnow. Don't be worried, Dodgers fans. Everything's going to be all right. Second inning. We got the top dogs, or maybe the top guards in this situation. They have the best record in baseball. How about that? Who had the Guardians of having the best record in baseball after 22 games? This is just the fifth time in the last 80 years that a Cleveland baseball team has won 16 of their first 22 games. The others, 1948, they won the World Series. 1966, this is unfortunate. They finished 81-81. So just like didn't really matter. And then 1988, they finished 78-84.
Oh, come on.
So this is just telling me, hey, this doesn't really matter. But then in 1999, they won the AL Central. So, hey, we're back. But they lost in the ALDS.
Manny Ramirez.
Oh, so, you know, yeah, Manny. Now, so why are the Guardians so successful? I'm going to be honest. I watched the Guardians play the Red Sox. They took 3 out of 4, but I haven't gotten to watch all the Guardians games. So I wanted to figure out why they're successful as you guys learned why they're successful. The Guardians have been held to 5 or fewer hits in just 2 of their 22 games. Their offense is, like, legit, which I didn't really know because coming into the season, outside of Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor, whose home run celebration, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Smacking himself in the head. What a psychopath.
He's just an insane person.
He's, like, I watched a lot of basketball this weekend. There's the guys who come off the bench, the unhinged energy guys. You got, like, the Russell Westbrooks, the Jose Alvarados. He's that for baseball.
I also feel like he has that, like, lineman or linebacker energy in football.
Yeah, he's just a little crazy. Yeah, he makes a play, and he lets you know. And I kind of like it. He's,
love it.
Didn't he give the Coles a baby last year?
He rocked a baby.
I'm in on Naylor, man. He's fun. 33 of their 124 runs have been via the homer, which ranks 28th in the majors.
Yeah.
And you want to know what I'm starting to get? Starting to get some D-backs energy from our guards here. I mean, they're kind of the D-backs of the AL. Even if they aren't hitting homers, they're just learning ways to score. And for some reason, teams that hit a lot of homers, this is probably not, I don't know if this is proven, not as in on them. Like the Red Sox offense, they're second in baseball in home runs. That scares me because I don't know how consistent that's going to be. But if you're just putting together rallies, stealing bases, moving the runners over, that's consistent. You can do that all season long. So that's promising. If you're a Guardians fan, that's sustainable. 8 of their wins. This is one negative that I found. 8 of their wins have been against the A's and the White Sox. Now, this might sound like a negative. And yeah, you know, schedule. But, I mean, you got to beat the bad teams. I don't think this is that big of a deal. Because good teams beat bad teams. They've lost one game to those teams. If you're gonna be a best team in baseball, if you're gonna have a great record, man, you gotta beat the bad teams. When the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, they beat the Rockies every single time. When the Braves are the best team in baseball, they sweep the Nationals. You have to do that. So it is a little bit of an easy schedule out the gate, but they've been delivering. So I like that. Beat the bad teams. And these are some stats I would have never had the Guardians as the best team in baseball. They go on to play the Red Sox next series. If they take this series again, they will continue it and have a strong April. Last season, we saw the Rays have a crazy April and then kind of taper off a little bit. They ended up still winning 90 games. But I like to see the Guardians keep it together. They lost Bieber. I feel like that was everyone kind of like out on them for a minute. Like, they lost all their momentum. They've been great, man. They've been hitting. Usually, I think of the Guardians as the pitching team. Now they're a hitting team. So if you're in Cleveland, congratulations. Your team's fun, and I'm a little jealous. Have you watched any Guardians baseball this year?
They play the Yankees.
Yeah, they did. They lost a doubleheader and then took the third game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. I watched stuff.
You watch baseball.
Third inning. Did this series change your mind? Let's play a little game, Ronnie.
Okay.
We got 3 series, and if there's anything to learn from the series, all right?
Sure.
So I'm going to pitch you a series. This is the result. Did this move the needle for you at all for an April series? Mets take 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers. We talked about the Dodgers. Let's talk about the Mets. After starting 0-5, they've won 12 of their last 16. I came on this very podcast and I said, hey, in my tier rank episode, my tier list episode, which will be coming soon again, by the way, first episode of every month will be our tier list / power ranking of Major League Baseball. So we're only, I think, 2 episodes away from another one where we can update this officially. I had the Mets in no fun to watch category. They were 0-5 coming off the Reese Hoskins incident with Jeff McNeil, which was just a bad look. They hadn't won a game. Everyone seemed to be making excuses. It was not a fun time. And I stand by that. They weren't fun to watch. But guess what? Baseball's a long season. Now they are fun to watch. Their pitching has been fantastic to start the year. They are, before they lost 10-0 to the Dodgers yesterday, they won the series, so who cares? They were the first in baseball, first in the National League in team ERA, second in starters ERA, and first in bullpen ERA. How about that? Good pitching gets the job done. And that was probably the question mark for the Mets this season coming in. Was their pitching staff. So I like to see that. Did this move the needle for me? A little, but I think it's more of a sample size. This series was kind of like the cherry on top. Baseball is all about when you play a team in the regular season, not how good the teams are. Because if the Dodgers and the Mets meet each other in August, the Mets could be skating a little bit and the Dodgers could be hot and they get swept. It's all about when you play your teams, not how – that's kind of just sums it up. Like, when do you play them? You catch the Dodgers in April, you have a better chance of beating them. But I am impressed that the Mets, after 0-5, and I was just like, oh, this team has no vibes, have been able to put it together and win 12 out of 16. That's impressive. So I'm going to say the large sample size that moved the needle for me, not the series. What about you, Ronnie?
Yes, definitely. It's more definitely for the Mets.
Yes.
So it's, they've beaten the Braves now and the Dodgers.
That moves the needle.
So it's kind of like for Mets fans, you love to see that.
And I want the Mets to be good, you know. I live in New York. I need to, when our teams are good, even though I don't like them, it's good for the culture. Blue Jays take 2 out of 3against the Padres. The Blue Jays are 12-10 and the Padres are 12-12. And in my head, they're the exact same team, man. I think of the Blue Jays as the American League Padres, and I think of the Padres as the National League Blue Jays. They both have such a young core, or had such a young core. They were really fun. They burst onto the scene. They had swag. You had Vladdy, who got second in MVP. You had Tatis, who was an MVP candidate. And then things really just haven't fully worked out for them. They haven't had a ton of playoff success. They haven't been super consistent. That's kind of how I view them. What I did learn is this series didn't move the needle for me on either team. But I did figure out that I have let you guys down by not talking about a Jose Berrios more. Or Berrios. Is it Berrios or Berrios?
Berrios.
All right. Flex on me. We get it, Ronnie. You're cool. Pitching has been fantastic. 31.2 innings pitched for a 0.85 ERA. I mean, when he signed that big extension with the Blue Jays, I was a little worried about him because I've never fully seen the picture with him, and that maybe that's a me issue. He was good with the Twins, but I feel like he hasn't fully clicked with the Blue Jays. Now he's starting to fully click, and he's probably been the best pitcher in the American League to start the season. So shout out to you. You've been fantastic. Why'd you make that face for me?
No, there's somebody named Corbin Burns. I don't know.
I mean, these numbers are pretty crazy.
He's off to a
I'm just starting
start.
The start of the season. Yeah. He's been fantastic. Yes, so, Kikuchi has also been really good for them. After last season, again, another guy that I fully didn't see the vision with, 5.19 ERA in his first season, off to a good start this year, 2.08 ERA. Again, it's a long season. These numbers can change by one bad start. You have a 6 ERA. So don't read too much into the stat line. I'm just more impressed by the Blue Jays pitching after a strong season last year. They're carrying it over again, and Gausman hasn't been that great to start the season. So, I'm impressed, Blue Jays. Last one. Braves take 2 out of 3 against the Rangers. Now, the Braves haven't played their best baseball, in my opinion. They're 14-6, but they're averaging 6.25 runs per game. Usually in April, your offense isn't great. You know, it's a little cold some places. The ball doesn't carry. I mean, they played the White Sox in a series, and I remember it was like the second series of the year, and the Braves were basically all in coats because it was so cold. Like, you know, sometimes it takes a little bit to get the bats going out of spring training. Pitchers usually have a better start. Not for the Braves, man. And what I've learned is that 14-6, and they lost the series to the Mets, and they had a couple weird series overall. This team is going to have a month where they lose 2 games. They're the best team in baseball, and I don't really think it's that close when healthy. So they're going to have 1 month, probably like July or August, where we just look and go, oh, the Braves were 20-2 this month. How did that happen? So I learned they're still really good. Moving on to our fourth inning. This is a sad one. I got a little fun segment after this to break it up, but let's talk about the Chicago White Sox.
Oh, man.
Can I paint you a picture, Ronnie?
Please.
Let me get into my time machine. The day is August 12th, 2021. Your Yankees are playing the Chicago White Sox. My first year, I believe that was my first year working here. Tim Anderson hits a walk-off homer to win 9-8 against the Yankees.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams game. It was the peak of the Chicago White Sox fun era. I was reading some articles in 2021 talking about this is the future of baseball, the Chicago White Sox. 2020, this is the future of baseball, the fun, young Chicago White Sox. What has happened? They are 3-18. It is the worst start in franchise history. According to StatHead, the White Sox are now one of only 12 teams since 1901 to win fewer than 3 games in their first 21 contests. With only 2 runs scored on Sunday, the White Sox have played 45 runs for 21 games, the worst offensive start in club history. Only 6 other teams in the live ball era, which is since 1920, have scored 45 or fewer runs in their first 21 games. Once again, according to StatHead. I don't know what has happened.
Have you seen their averages?
It is horrible. Have I seen the averages, Ronnie? I have. Outside of Gavin Sheets, who has been pretty good for them, actually. But even including him, they have a team OPS Take a guess.
5:30.
Not bad. 5:52. So a little better than Ronnie Sott. Wow. They have a team OPS of 5:52. If there's a hitter in your lineup of a 5:52 OPS, you're yelling at your manager to take him out. They have a team lineup. The entire team has an OPS of 5:52. In average baseball, you're probably going to get like a 7:50. OPS as a team is good.
Yeah.
Like you're a good team. So 700 is kind of the line of demarcation. They're 150 points off that. That's horrible, dude. And it sucks. And I'm sorry if you're a White Sox fan, because this team had so much potential. And I really need you guys to explain what happened. What went wrong? How did we go from a young, fun team with all this promise and all this upside to last year of the Jose Ramirez-Tim Anderson fight, and now this year where it just feels like everything for the White Sox is just going wrong and getting worse and worse. And this might be the worst baseball team I've seen in a while.
It's very, like, I don't know what happened. Tim Anderson had all the swag. Yoan Moncada was a hot prospect. Jimenez was hitting bombs. Luis Robert.
He's still there, but
I mean,
I don't know.
Did they all just become bad?
Everyone just became bad. The culture with Tony La Russa, everything got changed. I need someone to explain to me what happened and how this has... I need a video essay on the Chicago White Sox,
Jose
man.
Jose Abreu won MVP.
He's been brutal for the Astros, man. Yeah. The rise and fall of the Chicago White Sox. I need a video. I'm genuinely perplexed and depressed by this because I really... No, my moose. For video video listeners, he just saw that. For the audio guys, I dropped my moose.
He was sad because of the White
Sox. He was sad because of the White Sox. Yeah. Dude, it stinks, man. Yeah. And I don't really know how to feel about it. But for baseball, it's bad. And my bold prediction, not even bold, they're going to get no hit twice this year.
No hit twice.
Twice. Zach Wheeler almost did it already.
Yeah.
Took it into, what, eighth inning? And then gave up a single. They're going to get no hit twice this year.
That's, I love that.
It's going to happen. It's unfortunate to happen, but it's going to happen. So I'm sorry, White Sox fans. You deserve better. We were all coming in making fun of the A's. We were making fun of the Rockies, all these other teams. And hey, look at it. The White Sox are by far the worst. Who had that on their bingo
card? At least the other teams are can be fun. This team is just zero fun.
Depressing, to say the least. And I'm rooting for some guys. I like Yoan Moncada.
Me too.
I like some guys on that team.
Yeah.
But hey, but good job, Gavin Sheets. Way to carry the offense.
Crochet has been pitching well.
He's been pitching well. Dude, I'm not giving you positives, man. If you're 3-18, I got nothing for you, bro. All right, let's take a breath from the serious topics. Let's talk a little bit, some fun stuff. Phillies wear their batting practice hats in honor of the Fanatics' birthday. Do you think more teams should do this, Ronnie?
Absolutely.
100%. Give me more custom hats. Give me more fun one-off jersey days. Give me more custom cleats. I want more custom everything, man. I love it. I think it's fun. When everyone was wearing their custom Jackie Robinson cleats, every single one I saw was the coolest thing ever. So please do it. And shout out to Major League Baseball and the Phillies for doing this, because they could have easily nipped that in the bud and be like, hey, we're not going to do that. But they had fun with it, and it was cool. I liked it. Yeah. So I need more teams to do that. Nestor Cortez got told his fake pitch was illegal. Is that good or bad?
Really?
Yeah. MLB told Nestor Cortez his fake pitch?
Yeah.
That was not allowed.
So the umps didn't say anything?
Yes. I also think it was a bit of the no one really knew the rule. I like that he did it, but I guess it's kind of a little unfair.
When I saw it, I was like, wait.
Like, fake throw the ball? Is that like a balk?
I mean, that's the thing with balks. Nobody even knows.
No one ever knows.
No one knows what it is, but I don't know. When I saw it, I assumed it was illegal, but when nobody said anything, I was like, oh, that's cool then.
When I first became a baseball fan, like a real baseball fan, like on my own, not just because people I knew watched baseball, Johnny Cueto was the person that really got me into pitching and, like, liking the game, the pitching side of baseball. He's, like, one of my favorite pitchers of all time. Just his style and approach and his days on the Reds to the Royals in that World Series run. Cueto is, like, an all-timer. I love him. I like what Nestor does. I think it's awesome. I get why baseball is like, you can't do that, but I want more of that in baseball. So I'm kind of torn a little bit. I definitely don't think you should probably be able to fake your arm throw. That's a little confusing. Hitting's hard enough. But I hope they don't go further with it and be like, oh, you can't do this because, you know, Cueto, again, awesome. And I like what Nestor does. He's good for baseball. He's good for clips. He's cool. So, but I get it. You probably shouldn't be able to fake out a toss. It's a little tough if you're a hitter. You know, as a hitter in general.
I was going to say, you face Jack Doyle.
Yeah, as a hitter bias, you know, I like when pitchers are clean, man. None of this extra stuff. Umpire Ben May. Do you know who that is?
No.
Good. Called a perfect game.
I do know who he is.
But won. So a perfect game, but one. He missed one call the entire game. But I'm going to say that's a perfect game because human element. And I wanted to highlight this because last week was the week of Angel Hernandez. Everyone was making videos on Angel Hernandez. I mean, John Boy Media was making videos on Angel Hernandez. They're getting crazy views. Everything was going viral. Everyone was talking about it. And I understand Angel Hernandez is good for views. I understand it's good for engagement. I run a show. I like views. I like engagement. I get it. But this is genuinely my least favorite part of sports is umpires, referees, any story about the officials. It's my least favorite thing ever. So while I get Angel Hernandez leads to views, I hate it. I don't like watching it. I think it's dumb. I don't want umpires to decide the game. I don't want refs to decide the game. There's nothing worse than when two teams play a great game and the storyline after is the refs did this or the umps did this or this was bad. So I want to start focusing more on the umpires who actually do their job and that we don't talk about because that means they're actually doing a good job and the players are deciding the game. And it's not about the umpires, which no one ever intended for baseball to be. So good job, Ben May. Way to call a clean game. I'm going to start highlighting the good umps who do a good job instead of the bad ones because I don't like it. Moving on to the sixth inning, Ronnie. We got the good, the bad, and then Ellie. So let's talk about the good. I mean, you know I had to shoehorn a little Red Sox segment in here. Oh, hey, God. It's justified.
Oh, God.
It's justified. The Red Sox have the best pitching in baseball, and it's not that close. They have a 2.52 team ERA. Second place. Tigers, 2.94 ERA, almost half a run difference. For a team ERA, that's a big deal. Do I think this is going to hold up? Probably not. But for April, it's very impressive. Here are the two guys who I think deserve some love. Tanner Houck. Tanner Houck has 26.2 innings pitched. He's given up four earned runs for a 1.35 ERA. He went nine shutty against the Guardians, who have had the best offense in baseball. That's very impressive. His improvement. He doesn't walk hitters anymore. 9.5 strikeouts per nine to only 0.7 walks. He is averaging 14 strikeout to walk ratio. That's the best in baseball. And if you've watched Tanner Houck over his career, you know he's a five and fly guy. Five innings, third time through the lineup, walks and hits. This year, completely different pitcher. Shout out Andrew Bailey, Red Sox pitching coach. Cutter Crawford, 27.1 innings pitch. Two earned runs, zero homers allowed. 27 innings, zero home runs. Opponents are only hitting 163 with a 194 slugging for a 448 OPS. When people are facing Cutter Crawford this year, they're 100 points worse than the Chicago White Sox lineup. Think about it like that. That's crazy, man. That's very impressive. So those are two guys for the Red Sox who have carried. Red Sox are 13-10. They just swept the Pirates this weekend. I was torn. It was like my two children were battling against each other.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wanted the Red Sox. Red Sox threw out some of the worst lineups you will ever see. No Devers, no Casas. Really concerned about that. No O'Neill. But good pitching. Shut up. That's the good part. Keep having the best pitching in baseball. You'll be relevant. The bad. He's a guy we've talked about a lot in this show. Blake Snell, man. I'm sad. Off to a brutal start to the season. 11.2 innings pitched, 15 earned runs for an 11.57 ERA. I am very upset for Blake Snell. Now, a lot of people are going to say, see, this is why we didn't sign into a big contract. I have no counter for you. I wish I did. I have no counter, but I am upset because Blake Snell was so good last year. He pitched a Cy Young season. He waited till the end of spring. Probably didn't get a good spring training, comes out to start the season and has been very poor, like bad, bad, not good at all. He's struggling, and this is definitely going to affect his next contract if he's not able to get it right. And even if he is able to get it right, a bad month can tank your ERA, and people are going to say, hey, you were inconsistent again. So I am very upset because I want Blake Snell to succeed, and I want him to get a bag, and he's not been good. And I also want the Giants to be good, and for the Giants to be good, I need my boy Snell to be good. So this makes me sad, Ronnie.
It's pretty rough. I mean, these bad starts should have been the bad starts he had in spring.
Exactly. These are your spring training starts, but guess what? Because he waited and, you know, the whole Boris thing. Now this is where we're at. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I want him to get paid, and I want him to be good. But for everyone saying, this is why I didn't pay him, I have no counter. I'm defeated. You neutered me.
See, I almost didn't even want to blame him. Obviously,
I don't want to blame him either, but
Boris is kind of like
Well, you know what? I'm not going to blame him. I have free will. Yeah, you don't have to blame him. You can't control me. I'm not going to blame him. I'm going to blame everyone else. Ellie De La Cruz, man. Now, there was a lot of, I feel like coming into the season, a fun take people had, not a fun take, but a take people had was Ellie is the most overrated player in baseball. You know, he's not that good. That was a storyline going around him.
That was.
Well, to start the season, he's shut everyone up. In 85 plate appearances to start the year, he has a .306 batting average, a .412 OBP, .639 slugging, and a .1.051 OPS. He also leads Major League Baseball in steals at 10 already. We're not even a month into the season. He's fourth in MLB in homers. Who did we see last year put together a crazy homer steal season?
Bing bong.
Ronald Acuna Jr. Ellie De La Cruz. He's off to a great start, man. Watch out. He leads, like I said, leads the league in stolen bases. His strikeout rate last season was 33.7. This year, it's 30.6. Still a little high for me. I'm still a little worried about that. You know, the law of averages comes into play. Ellie isn't going to hit 300 every month, and he's not going to hit 150 every month. But that strikeout rate hurts you a little bit. His walk rate is up, though, from 8.2% to 14.1%. That's promising to me. His OBP's up. His walk rate's up. His strikeout rate's still a little high, but he's been playing awesome. It's great for baseball. It's great for the Reds. So, Ellie, keep doing your thing. Moving on to our seventh inning, Ronnie. Did you see the fan interference call this weekend?
I did. That was crazy.
So, I'll play it on the screen right now for you audio listeners who maybe didn't see it. Fan interference took a walk-off homer away from Jacob Stallings, man. Bottom of the ninth inning in a 0-0 game at Coors Field, which how many times are you going to hear that in a year? The deep drive to left field, and a fan reaches over, doesn't reach over. Kind of tough to see, but it hits his glove. The left fielder for the Mariners made a jump play on the ball, just missed it. The fan goes for it into his glove. By the way, you got to make that catch.
You got to catch that.
You got to make the catch. If you're going to make this whole game about you and go for the ball, and it was in your glove, got to come away with the ball. I'm not a critical man, but if you're going to take away a walk-off, a potential walk-off homer, some people are saying he could have caught it. I don't think he was going to catch it. If you're going to say, hey, I'm going for that ball, got to be clean in the web. You got to hear a pop. That glove looked 80 years old, by the way. It's the oldest glove I've ever seen.
The only thing that would have been worse is that if they lost.
That is true. Thankfully, they won.
Thankfully, they won.
So this isn't as much of a story. But as a Rockies guy.
Yeah, I'm a Rockies guy.
As a Rockies guy, I was pretty upset, man. Yeah. I was upset with this guy. His glove looked like he used to put it in the oven and beat it with a mallet. That's how he treated his glove. But it brought up a bigger story for me because it ended up being called an out because of fan interference. I don't think in any world he catches that ball. Either a double, the left fielder.
Right.
I think it was over. I think it was gone.
Yes.
It's either a double or a homer in my head, whatever you want to call it. But they called it out. And that kind of brought up the fan interference rule in general for me because it's a kind of a weird thing. Like Houston's also a pretty short right field where I feel like this happens a decent amount. Fenway's a short field.
Yankees.
There's a bunch of them. It's a weird concept or a weird rule that, like, fans are so close to the field and that they could become such a big part of the game on a homer like that, that you can take away a walk-off homer from someone on that call. So I don't know what needs to happen, but I think there needs to be a change in the fan interference rule. I'm not sure how to do it or what the approach is, but I don't like how much that can swing a game. Because, like, if the Rockies, say the game mattered and you're in, like, a playoff race and it's Dodgers-Padres and if the Padres win, they're in the playoffs. If they lose, they're out of the playoffs and that play happens. Everyone's literally burning buildings down. So I feel like we should get ahead of this before it becomes, like, an actual issue and happens in a game that really matters and costs the team. Because I feel like it's like the old baseball saying, the ball always finds you. One of these rules will always find the spotlight if it's not great. So I don't know, man. You guys can comment below your rule suggestions, what to fix. Maybe you guys like it. I don't fully understand, but this rule, this moment in general left a bit of a sour taste in my mouth.
I feel like they just need better camera angles.
Might need better camera angles.
If they set up just a bunch of cameras just down the line and then they can see projections or like just the trajectory of the ball.
I bet they even have those, but you know how sometimes they'll be like, oh, the broadcast doesn't have the camera angles that MLB has. I don't understand that.
Stupid.
Why doesn't the broadcast have the angles MLB has? Like, so the fans can see what MLB is seeing. Are they like, what are you trying to keep a secret? I mean, if you have a secret camera angle, just show us a secret camera angle.
These secret angles.
Yeah, what? Why do you got so many secret angles? Why do you got so many secrets right now? So I'd like to see that. But either way, make the catch.
Make the catch.
Make the catch. I might not even talk about this if he made the catch.
Yeah.
Because, but he didn't make the catch, and I was upset. I was like, if you're going to interfere, you got to make the catch.
I wonder how if fans, like, threw beers at him or something. If he got, like...
I hope not. No, that'd be too aggressive. Yeah. If a ball was hit, say Yordan hits an absolute screamer, you got no glove. But it's coming right at you.
Is it, like, you're a foul ball screamer?
No, it's a homer.
Okay.
Big homer.
Okay.
Oh, let's do Soto.
Okay.
You're in right field. Oh, man. Soto hits a piss miss, a 108 off the bat. It's coming right at you. You don't have a glove. Do you go for it? It's like right at you.
In the like right now, I want to say yes, but I know in the moment if it's a it's a baseball hurling at you at probably 100 miles per hour.
A screamer.
If it's a screamer, no.
Bro, I will never understand, and maybe this is a soft thing by me. Yeah. When I see like Judge just absolutely crush a ball, like on a line, and then you got like that 50-year-old, the 50-year-old dad who just no glove, just takes it in the chest. Or just, like, he goes to catch it, just completely misses, and just takes it right on the chest. Beer goes everywhere. His wife's looking at him. His glasses are a little tilted. Yeah. But he picks it up, and he's like, yeah. I'm like, dude, that broke me. That broke every bone in my body watching that.
I guess if it's a home run, it's slower coming to you. If it's a foul ball at 170.
Bro, a foul ball?
I mean, I'm ducking for cover.
Dude, there used to be a time when we didn't have nets.
I know, dude.
That was crazy. How did that happen? How did we get away with that?
The good old days.
Back in when you had to just be at people. I remember an argument was, be off your phone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean.
I could be off my phone with a $10,000 baseball glove. Yeah. And if I'm sitting third baseline and Yordan Alvarez yanks a ball, I have no defense. I'm cooked. It's going to hit me in the face and I'm dead.
Stadiums have gone too woke.
These woke nets. But either way, that's my home run rant. Sorry, I went a little long on that. Eighth inning. Let's do a little game of likely. More likely or less likely. Is it more likely that the Astros are as bad as they are or that the Yankees are as good as they are?
Bold of you to say that because the Yankees have kind of just been like...
I'm looking
a little bipolar right now.
I'm just looking at records.
Okay.
Yankees are 15-7, second in the American League.
Yeah.
Astros are 7-16, second worst in the American League. That felt like some storyline to me. Hey, I'm a host, man. I gotta create storylines.
You're creating storylines.
It's April.
More likely. This is a good one.
Oh, thanks, man.
Astros pitching concerns me. Their bullpen.
Javier's hurt. A little
Framber's,
neck discomfort. Framber's hurt,
and their bullpen has been bad.
Neck discomfort was a funny injury to me. It's like, sometimes I wake up, my neck hurts. Like, I feel that.
You're coming to work because of that.
But I'm like, damn, my neck kind of hurts today. Yeah. I'll give an answer.
Go ahead.
I think it's more likely that the Yankees are this good.
Wow.
Than the Astros are this bad.
Really?
Yes. I know. Bold of me to say. I don't think the Astros might suck, man. I don't know. But I don't know. It feels like they're going to level out even if it's a 500 team. I don't see them being this bad for the entire season. Second worst team in the American League? There's too much talent there.
Okay, I was thinking about this a little bit differently.
I think it's more likely the Yankees win the division and finish second in American League than the Astros finish last in their division and finish second worst in the American League.
I agree. Yes.
Okay, we got to a conclusion there.
Likely.
You were flip flopping over there. It's all right.
I had no idea what was going on.
You were so lost, but it's okay, man. I get it. It's Monday. Is it more likely that the White Sox or the Rockies finish with their worst record in their league? So you got to think about this, Ronnie. You got the Rockies, who are 5-17. Marlins are the second worst team at 6-17. So pretty close. Then you got the White Sox, who are 3-18. And the Astros, who are 7-16. Is it more likely that the Rockies finish last or the White Sox finish last?
I mean, the White Sox have given me no reason why not.
White Sox have given you no reason. It's just a matter of, do we think our Rockies can just be a little better?
The National League has worse teams, I feel like.
I agree.
The Nats are pretty bad, even though they've kind of been winning a little
bit. The Nats have been winning a little bit. CJ Abrams, people need to talk about him.
Nats are pretty bad. You got
Marlins, Cardinals.
I mean, Central.
I think it's more likely the White Sox finish last.
Yes.
But it could be a both. They could both just finish last.
But that's not the game. So.
That's not the game. I know. They made the game.
They very well could finish both last.
Yeah, but I'm going to go White Sox. I'm going to go White Sox. Yes. I just don't see a team being as bad as they are. Is it more likely that this, between these two 11 and 11 teams, yeah, the Pirates, who are 11 and 11,
Bing,
and the Mariners, 11 and 11, which team is more likely to make the playoffs?
I will say the Seattle Mariners.
I will go with the Pirates. And I will go with the Pirates because I agree. I think the National League might be a little bit weaker in terms of their top teams. The Mets just went from 0-5 to winning 12 of 16, and now they're right back in it. I'm worried about my Pirates a little bit. They shouldn't have gotten swept by the they've lost six in a row.
Okay.
It's bad. They're 2-8 in their last 10.
They're reaping what they sowed.
They're reaping what they sowed. They got swept by the Red Sox. They have a negative run differential. The Mariners have been playing some good ball lately. 7-3. So everything would tell you to pick the Mariners. And maybe a part of me, seeing Luis Castillo actually have a good start and George Kirby start to piece it together, maybe a part of me believes in the Mariners. But due to take bias, I'm locked in on the Pirates.
I mean, if the Astros are going to continue to be bad, they can just be the second team in the AL West.
Could you like turn your mic off for a second?
That's a great point.
Guys, I might believe in the Mariners. But the Pirates. It's the Pirates.
That's just blind faith.
I'll never give up on my Pittsburgh Pirates. Down with the ship. As the captain would say.
Wow, nice.
I'm going
Pirates.
Down with the ship, man. Wow. All right, ninth inning. Let's go around the antlers, Ronnie.
Let's go around the antlers.
What's your favorite sport? Not baseball.
Bing bong.
Basketball.
3, 2, 1, basketball.
Basketball. Great weekend of hoops. It was fun. Actually, probably not a great weekend. It was kind of a mid-weekend.
You lied.
Yeah, I did. I just lied. It was a blowout. A lot of blowouts. Wasn't that fun. I would like your thoughts on Manny Machado. I grew up a Red Sox fan. Like you. Hey, bro. Appreciate you. My favorite players were Big Poppy and Pedroia. I'm also a San Diego fan. It feels weird to root for Manny, but I feel like he has grown up so much, and he isn't the dirty player he once was. What do you think about him? That is interesting. The Manny Machado career arc with Baltimore. Kind of that young, arrogant guy. Nasty. Then he went to the Dodgers. Villain. I mean, as a Red Sox fan, I should hate Manny Machado. He was prime villain that series. But I don't. I've never hated Manny Machado. Even when he was in his villain arc, I always kind of liked him. I respect him. He's one of those players who might never win an MVP, but he's one of those guys I'm going to show like my grandkids. Like Manny Machado was a ball player.
Yeah.
He was good. I love his swing. There's something about just like his mechanics when he hits a ball are special to me. I love watching Manny. I've rooted for him. I wanted to win MVP that year. Mm-hmm. I still wanted to win MVP. I wanted to be really good. I like Manny Machado. I've always been a fan.
I also love Manny Machado. When he was with the O's.
Nasty. Him and J.J. Hardy, nasty.
The aura.
He has aura. And I want him to, like, when the Padres signed him,
yeah,
everyone was like, why is he going to San Diego? And he's kind of been a staple there. He's been fucking awesome, man.
He kind of turned it around.
He did.
He was the first one to go.
So, shout out, Manny, and I hope you're good, and I hope you win, because you deserve it. You're good. If you had to choose between never having dessert again or never having an appetizer again, which one would it be? Now, this is a great question.
Wow.
Fantastic question.
Fantastic question.
See, I'm not big on either of these.
Okay.
I'm like a sustenance guy.
Well, it's great because both of these are very small, so you're not supposed to be big.
That is true. But like if I go out to a restaurant and people say, do we want to get appetizers?
Right.
I'm always like down. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm going to be kind of full by the time I get my meal because it takes so long for the appetizers to get here.
Yep.
That they're kind of like, I get my appetizers and then they're like, are you ready to order? And I'm like, I haven't even eaten these pickles yet. I don't know. Am I ready to order? I just went a little Scooby-Doo on you.
I'm a big fan of the bread.
Oh, I went to a Texas Roadhouse recently. Yeah. I ate like 8 pieces of bread. But then again, I'm full by the time the food gets here. So I don't know. I think I'd rather go without appetizers.
Wow. So what does you're a big dessert guy.
I'm a bigger dessert guy than an appetizer guy. Like a cookie, I'm always into.
See, this is tough because...
Why is it tough?
Appetizers, they're good.
dare I say they're appetizing?
They're very appetizing. And, like, I also, I don't crave them when I go there.
I don't think I've ever craved an appetizer.
Me neither. I usually don't. Unless I'm, like, in a group setting and it's like, oh, should we get, like, nachos?
Well, you love ordering for the table.
should we get nuggets for the table?
Should we get mozzarella sticks for the table? Four of them come.
Four mozzarella sticks.
But it's always the least amount of mozzarella sticks ever. There's never enough for the table.
You're right. You're right. But mozzarella sticks as a concept.
They're fantastic. as a premise.
an essential food.
You're saying bread and cheese.
Fried bread and cheese. But so that is good. But then I have less dessert. I've had more appetizers in my life than I've had dessert. But
it's a volume game.
That uncanny feeling of wanting a little sweet treat after eating something.
after you worked out or did an exercise, and you're like, I'm having ice cream.
Man. Or if they're just accomplishing something.
I'm going to need you to make a decision.
I will go without dessert. I'm going to go appetizers.
Wow. I mean, the only times I get appetizers are when I'm like at an Applebee's or something.
The mozzarella sticks.
They're good. They're good. Which player annoys you the most when you watch them play? Now, this is kind of a... if you have an answer, I don't really have an answer because I think you can take this in two different questions. Is it like, do I hate this player or do they just kill my team? Because there's a difference.
I feel like they're both kind of like...
Like Colton Cowser annoyed me when he went nuts. 10 for 15 against the Red Sox. I was actively annoyed because I was like, what the hell? Or like another sports example, like when Caleb Martin last year in the Eastern Conference Finals went unhinged. I was like, okay, that's just annoying, but I don't hate him.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you have an answer for this. Is there like a Yankee killer?
In baseball, I would always say not. He's not this annoying anymore because he doesn't play the Yankees anymore. But when Joey Wendell was on the Rays, all he did was just piece together at bats.
Just annoyed you?
And all he did was just be a little squinty little nuisance.
So he annoyed you.
He was a thorn in my side.
Teoscar Hernandez has crazy numbers against the Red Sox. He always put together insane at-bats, which is why they wanted them to sign him. So he also kind of annoyed me. But that's more just because they're good.
Alek Manoah, I'm not a fan of.
All right. Your Yankees is showing. Yeah. Last question. You get one auto addition to the MLB Hall of Fame. Who are you adding and why? I have a very clear answer here.
I think I have one. I have so many right now.
Give me your first.
Manny Ramirez.
Oh, like that. Same ballpark for me. Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Easy. I mean, I think Barry Bonds being in the Hall of Fame should happen for the history of baseball. It's a sport about history. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Everybody was cheating, probably. I mean, he has insane numbers. And I also think that him being in the Hall of Fame, you can't tell the story of baseball without Barry Bonds. And the Hall of Fame is about the story of baseball. And he is a big chapter in that story.
I mean, Don Mattingly, he's like been clean and he has the numbers. Worst people are in. And like it's kind of like a big thing in Yankee world that he's not a Hall of Famer.
Don Mattingly? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, that wraps up this episode of Swamp Talk Radio. If you want to be featured, make sure you comment below. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple, make sure you leave a rating. And we'll see you guys on Friday for another episode. Thank you and bye.